name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. God is the Lord, and hath appeared unto us. Hosanna in the highest. With these words, the children of Israel, the Jews, welcomed our Lord Jesus Christ as he entered into Jerusalem. The words that the Jews uttered were correct, for they were the words of prophecy, the words of the psalm. And yet the meaning behind them was not what our Lord had meant when he inspired the holy prophet and King David to write these psalms, to write these prophecies concerning his descendant, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews of that time thought that they were welcoming an earthly king. They thought that they were welcoming their liberator from the yoke of the Romans. They thought that Jesus was going to be a king like the King David, and that he would create the kingdom of Israel, and it would be a power within the confines of this world and would defeat all of the nations around them. They strewed in front of him palm branches and branches of trees, and they took off their cloaks and they put them down before him so that he could pass over them, thus signifying their obedience, thus signifying that they accepted him as their king. And yet it was not for the purpose of being an earthly king that our Lord came. It was not in order to rule over the nations or to assemble armies or to make conquests that he entered into Jerusalem, but rather in order to go to his passion. It was not to found an earthly kingdom that our Lord came to this earth. It was to inaugurate the kingdom of heaven. And so how does our Lord enter? He does not ride mounted on a stallion. He is not surrounded by a retinue, by a court, by an army. Rather, he is mounted upon the foal of an ass. Fear not, daughter of Zion, says the holy prophet Zacharias. Fear not, for thy king cometh unto thee, mounted upon the foal of an ass, prophesying the entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. Our Lord thus shows clearly that his purpose was not an earthly kingdom, but rather a heavenly kingdom. His purpose was not to rule with pride, but rather to submit to his Father's will with humility. His purpose was not conquest, but rather to suffer the passion, to be crucified, and to be put to death. Thus our Lord shows us the proper manner. He shows us that we must value the spiritual above the material. He shows us that we should consider the kingdom of heaven to be of infinitely more value than any kingdom of this world. For our Lord came not to establish an earthly kingdom. Of course, if he had wished to, he could have assembled, as he said, more than 12 legions of angels in order to conquer the Gentiles. But this was not his purpose. Now the fathers of the church explained to us that there is another interpretation beyond the literal interpretation, the historical events of our Lord entering into Jerusalem. They explained to us that there is a spiritual meaning. Jerusalem, a Hebrew word, means city of peace. And the fathers explained to us that the true Jerusalem is the Jerusalem of the soul, that every one of us has a Jerusalem within us, and that the goal of the spiritual life is to acquire that spirit of peace, that same spirit of peace which St. Seraphim of Sarov said, if you acquire the spirit of peace, 1,000 people around you will be saved. The words that the Jews uttered were correct, for they were the words of prophecy, the words of the psalm. And yet the meaning behind them was not what our Lord had meant when he inspired the holy prophet and King David to write these psalms, to write these prophecies concerning his descendant, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews of that time thought that they were welcoming an earthly king. They thought that they were welcoming their liberator from the yoke of the Romans. They thought that Jesus was going to be a king like the King David, and that he would create the kingdom of Israel, and it would be a power within the confines of this world and would defeat all of the nations around them. And so they welcomed our Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And as he entered into the city, they strewed in front of him palm branches and branches of trees. And they took off their cloaks and they put them down before him so that he could pass over them, thus signifying their obedience, thus signifying that they accepted him as their king. And yet it was not for the purpose of being an earthly king that our Lord came. It was not in order to rule over the nations or to assemble armies or to make conquests that he entered into Jerusalem, but rather in order to go to his passion. It was not to found an earthly kingdom that our Lord came to this earth. It was to inaugurate the kingdom of heaven. And so how does our Lord enter? He does not ride mounted on a stallion. He is not surrounded by a retinue, by a court, by an army. Rather, he is mounted upon the foal of an ass. Fear not, daughter of Zion, says the holy prophet Zacharias. Fear not, for thy king cometh unto thee, mounted upon the foal of an ass, prophesying the entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. Our Lord thus shows clearly that his purpose was not an earthly kingdom, but rather a heavenly kingdom. His purpose was not to rule with pride, but rather to submit to his Father's will with humility. His purpose was not conquest, but rather to suffer the passion, to be crucified, and to be put to death. Thus our Lord shows us the proper manner. He shows us that we must value the spiritual above the material. He shows us that we should consider the kingdom of heaven to be of infinitely more value than any kingdom of this world. For our Lord came not to establish an earthly kingdom. Of course, if he had wished to, he could have assembled, as he said, more than 12 legions of angels in order to conquer the Gentiles. But this was not his purpose. Now, the fathers of the church explained to us that there is another interpretation beyond the literal interpretation, the historical events of our Lord entering into Jerusalem. They explained to us that there is a spiritual meaning. Jerusalem, a Hebrew word, means city of peace. And the fathers explained to us that the true Jerusalem is the Jerusalem of the soul, that every one of us has a Jerusalem within us, and that the goal of the spiritual life is to acquire that spirit of peace, that same spirit of peace which St. Seraphim of Sarov said, if you acquire the spirit of peace, 1,000 people around you will be saved. It serves to be easy, and yet what an error. And our Lord shows us what an error this is through sending the tiniest microscopic virus, one that we cannot see with the visible eye, and even with microscopes, it is difficult to see. And this tiny little virus, just a few molecules, has laid low the entire race of man. How easily do we fall? How weak are we truly in the eyes of God? How vain is our material prosperity? How futile our efforts to turn this world into a paradise, while we forget about that true paradise, the true world, which is the world of the soul. Only the soul is immortal. Everything material shall pass away. Thus, our Lord this year has given us a special lesson for the season of Lent. Although many of us are not able to attend church, public spaces are closed, people are instructed to stay within their houses, yet, in spite of these physical restrictions, there is no restriction that is made upon our spirit. The spirit, being immaterial, being immortal, is able to transcend these material boundaries and is able to lift itself up towards God in pure prayer through fasting and through humility. It is the custom of the church every year to bless palms in order to commemorate this Feast of Palm Sunday. This year, we have not been able to bless palms because, of course, nothing is available. Many stores are closed. The entire system of supply and logistics on which the world functions is grinding to a halt. And yet we are able to bless the branches of other trees. And this, in fact, has been the custom in many countries where palms were unavailable. Of course, palms are a tree which grows in warm climates, in the Mediterranean and in the tropics. In countries like Russia, for example, palms were hardly available. How could they have gotten such a thing in a cold northern land? And so they would bless other types of branches. In the case of Russia, the custom was to bless pussy willows. Here in America, in our monastery of St. John's, we have blessed other branches. And although they are not the same branches which the Israelites strode before our Lord as he entered into the temple, nevertheless, they symbolize that same submission. They symbolize that same humility of our Lord. They symbolize the victory of our Lord over death. He enters into Jerusalem in order to suffer his passion, and we enter with him. Or rather, we accept him and we welcome him with open arms. Thus, as we complete the formal period of the 40-day fast of Lent, and we enter into Holy Week, the most holy, the most sacred, the most intense time of year, when our minds and our souls must be dedicated exclusively to the contemplation of divine things, we pray our Lord to bless us during this time. We ask him forgiveness for our negligence during the fast, for the times when perhaps we've broken the fast, or when we've bent the fast, or the times perhaps when, because we were tired, we became disagreeable, or we said a sharp word to our brother. We beg our Lord to forgive us for these past offenses, and to give us the strength, if we have not completed the fast up to this point in the way which it is proper, at the very least, to enter into the period of Holy Week with a ready heart, to perform at least this final course of the fast, this final lap, as it were, on the race, in a God-pleasing manner. Thus, my dear brethren, accepting the Lord into our hearts, glorifying him as is meet, we enter into the time of Pascha, and we receive our Lord as not merely the King of the world, not merely as the creator of the universe, but much more as our Savior and Redeemer. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh In the name of the Lord. Amen.